like we're all in this together. We're not looking at one type of school or a calendar. That's not that issue. I'm thinking, let's take this conversation more aspirationally. Where are we trying to go, and what steps then will guide us to that place? And I think that's all we're talking about. But yeah, I get it. I want kids to be able to have the opportunities if we can avoid having to spend money on remediation, and there are steps we can do, like giving that what's it called now, our new math class that we're college career math in the fourth year for free. And then if you pass that, you don't have to take, you have to get A or B. You don't have to take and pay tuition. So there's a value of $3,000 to $4,000 depending on where you're going. So there are things in the works, but yeah, I get it.
Okay, Frank, we have a lot of emotions in the room, Frank, picking on my friend. And I think it's very important from a guy who would like to see more instructional time. We recommended 1,200 hours if you funded it. And I think we do have to find a way to crack the math nut, Phyllis, statewide. But the real issue here, and it's hard for us to narrow it down, we tried to do this in our board meeting once, and we could never really get to the real issue. The real issue is we have to have a performance indicator to allow people to stay or go less than 165 days. And setting the bar up here where we all want it really doesn't, in my mind, isn't what the law asks for. We need something to make sure that you're showing growth or something similar to what your counterparts that are 165 or more days. So something in that range, I think, feels better, because I think a lot of people are concerned because, again, there are emotions on both sides. A lot of people are against fewer days. We call it a four-day week, but I'm glad we've outlawed that word in here, because it's not about 4 days and five. But it really should be about what are we doing, and make sure we don't hold those schools to a higher standard than we do everybody else. So I think as we go through, we really need to think about, is the combination of math and reading, which is probably the thing about putting them together, you're not requiring it in math and reading, which I think is more difficult, because now you're multiple grades, math and reading, you're going to make it much more difficult for a district, because now you're looking multiple grades, multiple sites. It's going to be harder for districts who do want to try it or are currently in it to do it. And I think that'll be easier to explain to your teachers and parents.
So just listening to Sean talk, it made me think. I mean, we've got a couple of factors here. Pace of growth. Are you keeping pace with schools that are doing well at 165 days or more? And also, I lost my second one, darn it. And also, you could just go binary. Are you growing or are you not growing?
Okay. So just to go with that thought, to go back to these tables here again on the left, this is how I got to that 92 and 81. So you can see there's very little difference in how much the two sets of schools are growing, less than or more than 165 days. Little bit in ELA, nothing at all in math. And what it came out to was 92 and 81. Again, I got rid of a little decimal points because I figured that was too irritating. The interesting thing following what you just said is schools that have less than 165 days are doing as well as others in ELA. When we look at our top, we're doing a little less well. Average, it's about the same, but it's the top. We don't have the schools excelling or the students excelling in our schools the way we do in some schools that have 165 or more. But it's, and that's why that one proposal was, what if we just looked at the overall state, not because the differences weren't great here, it didn't make sense to me, but you can argue with me, to pull just the 165 or more. I did the average, which came to, because there's so many more schools, about what the 165 or more is. And that's what this is, and I'll write justify it in a minute. The 92 and 81. So it's conjunctive, but it's not the same bar. It is meeting what half the schools in our state are doing now, which...
I just think with math as low as it is that we've got to focus on the math. I mean, I think if we don't separate those and keep them at our forefront, I think it's like others have said, we do it in our district. In most districts, I'm going to say almost all districts, but there are some districts that don't. And I agree that parents who see math, if they can see that their child has improved in math, they're going to support what we need them to support, whether it's, you know, that extra 30 minutes after school for tutorial or whatever it is we're going to need them to do. If they can see their child's not growing, they might be able to understand where that extra length needs to come in or whatever we're proposing out there. I would like to see those scores where we can point them out to the parents.
When you talk about growth and the standards that you're applying to the districts that are less than 165 days and 165 days, and I think you pointed out the number of elementary and middle school kids, I think it's important to educate everybody about what that means to the hours in the day for the kindergartner through the eighth grader. 165 days is 6.5 hours. We had some districts go all the way down to 134 days for last school year, and that's an 8.5-hour day of instruction. And I've just, our child labor laws don't require kids under 14 to work that long. So I think that's, I don't know how you measure growth at people who need a nap. I mean,
a whole new angle.
No, so anyway, I think it's okay to have a growth look that might be different for the under 165 days versus a growth factor of something that's over 165 days. They're two different animals.
So is average one to look at? Is that something people are, I mean, because you can sort of pick any, I want you to be better than 60% of schools. I want you to be better than 20% of the schools. You could pick lots of numbers out there. I picked average because it's the most easy to grab and understand.
So I'm just trying to get a sense for the room. So the average, when we talk about that, we know where the state average is. And when we remember we were talking about those subgroup performances, special ed, English learners, all that, they have their own target and a state average. So there's like that watermark, if you look on the report card, that shows when they're hitting their target and that means it's aligned with the rest of the state. Is that something everybody's comfortable with in terms of like letting the state average kind of be a guide or a watermark instead of a separate type of calculation? I'm just curious. I mean, if you were looking in that direction, at least it all aligns. There's already set targets under ESSA that we have to reach. I'm just curious. So... No, not pass rate. There's growth that is, so it's progress to target. Goal.
So
progress to goal on the subgroups, which is growth. No.
That's achievement.
That's achievement.
Yeah.
But that's growth. Growth is about achievement.
Wait. There are two separate indicators.
Well, yeah. There's the growth indicator.
So this one is just... We want you to grow. There's no target about you have to grow this much. It's just you have to go up one half a performance level.
But
the achievement indicator, you have to show the cohort has to go up.
All right, I'm
and meet a different average on the cohort.
That's the heat math.
Yes.
One. Okay.
Yes.
Never mind.
Okay. This is a lot to remember.
Deborah has a comment. Deborah Anderson.
I'll answer that when we get the next comment.
I don't know if I've fully thought about how I want to talk about this, but So I'm Deborah Anderson. I'm sorry I wasn't here at the beginning. I'm with the Oklahoma Partnership for School Readiness. So my focus is on young children and how they do before they get to the school doors. So I'm struggling a little bit with the fact that the growth has to start in third grade because so much needs to happen with kids before they hit third grade. So it's a little bit of my struggle. But the other thing I'm kind of, and I don't have a strong opinion on school days, but would we expect that you would have to show that you're doing average or better? Is that a higher standard that we would place on schools that chose to have 165 days? If they have to meet the average, to me that seems like a really high mark. So I'm throwing that out there as consideration or some variation of how close to average might be important. So that's where I don't know if it's one or the other. But also, this gives me a really good, we got to do a lot more in early childhood so that kids are growing by the time they're getting these grades.
Yeah, you're raising a good point that if schools have a K-2 or even a K-3 school, they don't have the data to meet this requirement. So we are going to, I just made a note to myself, we're going to need to add that in to something to talk about next meeting. Putting that aside for a second, I think the question you asked, which was a good one, about is average the right place? Other question I got asked up at the front of the room is, what does average mean? Is average actually a percentage, or is average actually a number? And then that leads to the question of, let's say it's 92 and 81. Let's just say we're going to call those the state average. 92 and 81 are our targets. Is that our target for next year? Do we have to recalculate average and come up with the average so that the targets change every year? So that you're always above average, so you always find out what is the average for this year and did I beat it? Is that the idea behind if we pick an average? Think we'd have to. And that was your question. Good. I said it right. Because that was my thinking, too, is that that's the average this year. I mean, I'll be interested to see when we calculate the growth metric, because it sounds like on growth we may have done better, because if they stayed still, that's better than falling backwards. So growth may have actually gone up this year because we stayed still. So these numbers could be our lowest ever that we ever see, in which case we want to keep ratcheting the bar up as kids are doing better and better. It does keep transparent the difference between ELA and math. It's actually, well, no, that's not true. You like what I'm saying? One.
Okay. Like that better than setting a percentage, and then if it gets too high, I mean,
yeah. So So the lunch is being set up now. So here's my thinking. You can shout me down. What I'd like to do is table this and say a tentative thing that we want to revisit for the next meeting, because my goal was after lunch we moved to high school, is to say right now we're at the average conjunctive, but we also want to keep the compensatory as a possibility. So we're going to run some more data. I need to get the denominator found during lunch and get that to you. That was the one thing I was thinking. After lunch, I will come back and give you that data. And then move to the high school discussion. How do you feel about that? Do you feel like I'm just listening to a couple of people in the room and there's a silent majority that I haven't heard from? Because there's a majority I haven't heard from, and they're pretty silent, but I don't know if you guys are agreeing with what's being said or if you're quietly disagreeing. Yep. This is driving me crazy. So at lunch, I'm also going to write a line this table. So this one on the left is looking at ELA and math separately. So you have to include both, but they have two separate cut scores based on the average for the state. So even though we're looking at them separately, it's not the same score, which is what was on the previous tables. You have to get a 90, you have to get 100. These are based, this 92 and 81 is based on the current state average. But you have to meet both the ELA and the math goals. What I liked about this is because they were the same number, one of them wasn't limiting at that point. This one is the compensatory approach. Just for simplification, I did it based on the school letter grade. Again, that one is nice in that it's simple to explain, and it was one fewer bar to meet. Yes, sir.
Apologize for being that guy that's only one of two people in the room that you're listening to, but I want to, in answer to him and the higher and the regents, something that we have to think about when it's not compensatory is that you're going to hold schools accountable for something that's out of their control. The availability of math teachers and how well prepared they are in trying to find them and things like that, they're trying to overcome something that they are having a hard time even finding. Also, your emergency certified teachers are going to be higher in the math field than they are going to be in any other area, which is another thing that's affecting the amount of this. And so I really strongly feel that that comes to the point that you're almost holding them accountable for some things that are out of their control because they're doing the best they can. But the state is not providing them what they need when it comes to resources, funding, all that kind of stuff, because everybody's talking about it. We're not getting math graduates, and we're not getting qualified people, and they're actually having to spend extra money to get people qualified in math. So we need to be – I just feel strongly about that, that that's something that they are – one of the reasons that our math scores are down is for that very reason, not because we're not doing a good job or not because we're not focused on it, but we don't have the qualified people that we need in position to do it.
So if you look at the average, then you would say, well, there are schools that are cutting it, okay, when we're looking at average, right? So there are schools that do have teachers that are rocking it with math, and others are not. So then that would be on the far right. If you were looking at that, you would see in each grade. However, yes, it's a statewide problem. And that doesn't mean, like, that can't be an excuse, in my opinion. We have to find a way to overcome the problem.
And in the meantime, I think the reason...
Yeah,
yeah, but I think that's how why we moved away from that previous slide where you had the same cut for both subjects. So part of it is, to me, it's not just compensatory versus conjunctive. It is setting a lower bar for math, hit some of your same concern. We're still saying you have to be at least as good as half of the other schools who are not less than 165 days. But the bar is lower. You don't have to do the same in ELA and math. So I think I'm already hitting your concern by setting two different bars to meet rather than going compensatory. To me, it's a lot about communication and where the focus is. Sean? Well,
I would recommend you go compensatory just because it's easier to understand, and it's not as high a bar, and it's not there aren't so many different bars to meet. I know that may be more difficult. I think what has some people concerned about the compensatory is that you did put the letter grade with it. I would recommend that you, when you do compensatory, there's no reason to add a new letter grade. What you could do, we're above the average or not above the average, but having two different scores with conjunctive would make it more difficult for schools to meet, if that's your goal, but I think it'd be easier to explain if it's compensatory and together. That's just my take. Frank?
Sorry. I know this one guy that keeps grabbing the mic, but I'm passionate, and I hope that's why I'm here. To John's point, that's what drives the competition in the market right now. We all know there's a shortage. We're all trying to push our numbers out. We're all trying to raise our pay, our benefits that we offer to our employees. It's cutthroat. And now with Superintendent Hoffmeister's new plan on emergency, it's going to get 10 times worse. It's not going to get better. So you better find a way to keep the ones you got, and I'm going to steal every other one that I can find. You can just mark it down.
Another comment over here. Gotcha.
So I've been listening to a lot of the words in the room, and it seems to me that this is a case of ready, fire, aim. You guys went through 10 years of budget cuts, and then you made adjustments to preserve staff and to save costs, and now we're going after your adjustments. And having done that, we're now asking you how we're going to do that. So I think this is maybe an opportune moment to mention that we're going to do an interim study on what I think is the root issue, the teacher pipeline. At the end of September, I'm going to hold a study, and we're going to look at how we can inject more teachers, more young people into the profession so that you aren't fighting for staff and things, so that you can make the adjustments that work with you without the additional pressure of where do I find math teachers. I think what we need to do is something like invest in, say, loan forgiveness, student loan forgiveness for people entering the teacher pipeline and going and teaching Title I schools. And once we start doing that, once we start nourishing the base, we can ask you to make more accommodations and adjustments. I think that would be a case of ready, aim, fire. Thanks. Thanks for letting me make that plug.
That was certainly a more positive note to end on than where our friend over here was going to leave us. So just real quick, where I'm now at my summary in my head is that I think there's some, I don't want to use the word consensus, but at least a strong agreement that we do like the idea of thinking about being higher than average. There is still disagreement on whether it should be conjunctive with two different cut scores based on the two different averages or compensatory. So what I'd like to do is actually run some numbers for you for the next meeting with those two options. Because what I did not do is what somebody just said, which is don't look at letter grades. You, Sean, don't look at letter grades. Look at, so in this case, it would be the combination of schools over 173 in terms of their combined ELA and math growth scores, or divide that by two and get 85.5, right? 86.5 as a cut for the average of all of it. And what does that number look like? And I don't have that here, so I can run those data for you to come back and come to a final recommendation the next meeting. Is that a fair place to leave grades 3 through 8? Yes, thumb up.
Sean Heim, for those that will be listening later on the archive, Sean Heim gave a thumbs up.
Thank you. Is that a good place to break for lunch?
Okay, so we do have the food here. We also know that